Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo. Peace, peace, family. What's going on? This is Brother Kevin with Collective Minds Radio. And I'm with my brother Mufasa Ra and Love Lachey. Oh, I'm sorry, formerly Love Lachey, now Rigel Starr. What's going on, y'all?
Hey. Hey. How is everybody?
It's all good in the land.
Yeah, all is well. We got a little snow here in the St. Louis area, but other than, well, not snow, I guess it's like ice and rain kind of, sort of, you know. But
yeah, but it's actually snowing now, so it looked like the predictions were accurate. I didn't think that we were going to get any of this, but, yeah, it's now currently snowing, at least over here in my area.
Oh, okay, okay. And today is April 1st, 2018. Some people call it April Fool's Day. And it is also Easter as well, I guess, where, you know, they celebrate Passover and the resurrection of Christ, I believe. Y'all correct me on that.
Yeah, you're right.
Something like that. Yeah,
you're
something
right.
Like that. So, you know, to the folks out in the land that participate in those type of, you know, holy days, you know, salute to y'all. But this is Collective Minds Radio. We back for another week, another powerful build. Before we get into the show, though, do y'all have any announcements y'all want to make?
I just wanted to say something too. I know we had kind of touched base about Craig Mack. I put some links up for anybody that's listening that just may want to get an update about Craig Mack. I think they did release his biography that they came out with. They did a little story before he passed away. And they said that it was no celebrities in the building at the funeral. No celebrities. No Puff Daddy, no nobody. And so I thought that was interesting, but I did put some links on there. So that was the only thing
Yeah, speaking of that, I seen a report where they said that P. Diddy had actually offered to pay for the memorial, but the particular church declined or whatever. So I thought that, you know, I thought that was interesting too. But you know, it is what it is. Yeah, the brother was actually going through a lot of things. You know, I just hate that he went out at such a young age. So, you know, salute and rest in power to that brother and that family, you know. Mufasa, you got any announcements, bro?
I want to make an announcement. I want to give a shout-out to Crystal Muhammad and the New Black Panther Party for showing up yesterday in Mississippi and standing up for a young man by the name of Willie Jones, Jr. He was a 21-year-old black man who was found hung in his girlfriend's parents' front yard. He had an altercation with his girlfriend, and which was a white girl, and the altercation some type of way led to him being hung in a tree outside her parents' house. Now, the Mississippi Police Department and everything, they ruled it as a suicide, but we all know that don't make no sense.
Right.
A man would be hung inside after just having an altercation with this white girl in Mississippi, and then all of a sudden end up hung up in a tree in her front yard. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to Crystal Muhammad, New Black Panther, and the New Black Panther Party for showing up and giving the people down there some hope and some courage to stand up against injustices down there.
Indeed, indeed. Salute to them, most definitely. That's an unfortunate event, and that kind of leads into today's show. Okay, today's show, again, this is Collective Minds Radio. We do want to hear opinions from everyone, so, you know, if you want to chime in and give us a call and contribute to the build, give us a call at 929-477-1697, you know. And so, yeah, that leads us into today's topic, and we're talking about the murder of Stephon Clark, which this was a brother, for those that don't know, was that lived in Sacramento. And police supposedly got a call that someone was breaking into windows. You know, so they go to the area. They ended up pursuing the suspect or pursuing Stephon Clark. And he was in his grandparents' backyard, and they unloaded like 20 shots, I believe, and I believe 6 to 8 of them actually hit him. You know, and when they recovered the body, he only had a cell phone on him, you know. But if you look at the video, the police were saying that he had a gun, and they just started opening fire and shot the man, you know. And there's been a lot going on. This happened on March 18th. So since then, there's been a lot of protests, a lot going on. So we just go build, chop it up, and see, you know, have we learned anything since the Ferguson incident, since Mike Brown, you know, since Freddie Gray, since all these other incidents have happened. This seems to be the, you know, the most prominent and getting a lot of press time. So we just trying to figure out, have we learned anything moving forward? You know, what do we go do? Because this won't be the last time, I'm sure, you know, moving forward. So we just want to offer solutions to the family and figure out, you know, what have we learned and what can we learn going forward, you know, as these things affect our people. So that's where we at, this collective minds. You know, y'all want to go, we'll let Love Lachey speak. Do you think that we have learned anything since Ferguson as a people who, you know, seems like police can kill us with impunity and just get off, you know? So do you think we've learned anything since Ferguson?
Well, personally, I have. And I've learned that the things that we're doing and continually is doing does not work. I've also learned that as a collective, I don't believe collectively enough of us have learned what I've learned. And I think that's why we see so much repetitiveness just keep going on doing the same thing, the protesting, the marching, and
right.
signs. You know, I mean, you have to sit down and take time and write out messages that you're getting ready to, you know, hold up for people to read. And I mean, just keep going over and over again, doing the same thing every time the same situation happens. I think some of us may have learned that that doesn't work. I know I've, like I said, on a personal level, individual level, I've learned that that's not going to do anything. That's not going to, I'll put it like this. I won't say it don't do anything. Maybe subtly, in a subtle way, it may have subtle effects. But it's not enough. We don't, the subtle effects is not going to help the situation. We need something a little bit more than just subtle. And the way that we're going about just keep doing the same thing over and over again after so many years is evidence that it's not helping enough. It's not helping enough. Maybe a little bit,
right.
But not a little bit is not enough for the change that we would like to see. And I just always feel like it's so sad that a group of people have to go to another group of people and beg and plead and please, you know, we're human too. Don't treat us like this. Don't do us like this. Give us this. Give us that. That concept in itself is heartbreaking, because who do anybody think that they are, where they can hoard resources from other individuals, resources that's not theirs. They just go take it and claim that it's theirs, and people just let them. Oh, it's because they took it. They just allow it to happen, or it's just happening. I don't like that. So I'll just stop there. We can pass it on to Mufasa, his opinion. And then once again, for any callers that's on hold, we will be taking callers soon as well. So I just want to kind of let you know what's going on.
No doubt.
All right. Right on. I'll tell y'all what I've learned. What I've learned is whether you're wrong, whether you as a black person in this country are in the wrong and the right in what you're doing, because I'm not going to sit here and take up for the brother and say that he was all in the right in what he was doing. You know, my comments, and like I said, from what I've learned is, one, you got to know where you at. We are in a country that don't care about us. And they show us that by how when we get gunned down, we get no justice, whether we're in the right and the wrong. So when the police are after you, when the police are chasing you, and I've said this before, if you are ready to die, then go ahead and run. Go ahead and put up your resistance. If you are prepared to die, then do that. If you're not prepared to die, your best bet is to just try to do everything within your power to comply. That's your only chance, unfortunately. Running, trying to argue with them, you're not. All you're going to do is lose your life. So if you're prepared to lose your life and you don't mind gambling with your life, then go ahead and do that. But if you want to try to live and fight another day, understand that you're behind enemy lines, sir, and suck it up and do your best to comply. And as how you might call it, being weak, submissive, whatever you want to call it. But if you want to survive and try to fight another day, that's your best bet. Like I said, if you're willing to go, if you don't mind rolling the dice with your life, do that. The other thing I've learned is Elijah Muhammad was right. We need to separate, because we ain't going to get no justice dealing with a system that don't care about us. So, like Sister Roger said, all the praying and the marching and all that loud talk is really all for nothing, in my opinion. Because we're not going to get no justice from some people who don't care about us. The answer is separation. Unfortunately, that's the only answer. Are we going to continue to go through this every year, case after case after case? As you can see, they're not diversifying the police departments like they should. 9 times out of 10, if you're in the all-black community, you still got a majority white police force. They ain't not changing that. And they're not going to change it. So the only way for us to get ahead or get any better, we need to separate. We can't continue to live with them. And that's what I've learned. That's what I take out of this. And we can go into it a little bit deeper as we talk, but I'll leave it at that for now.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, I agree with, my sister Roger Starr and my brother Mufasa. Everything y'all said, I concur. I would just add that, you know, a lot of people don't know that the FBI released the report. Now, this is not Brother Kevin talking. This is the FBI. They released a report a few years ago that said the KKK was infiltrating police departments all around the country. Now, this is according to them. You know what I'm saying? And they put that out there. So if these people, you know, that was in the KKK, they've had kids and grandkids, they no longer wear the hoods, but now they've infiltrated police departments in cities around the country. And we know cities are mostly populated, you know, by black people or, you know, non-white people, melanated people. Then that's a problem. So, you know, like Mufasa said, as far as us getting justice, we're not going to get justice because the system is set up to where these people are in a position of power. They are the prosecutors, you know, they are the grand jury and these type of people. They are the police chiefs and all these type of things. So, you know, it's not like we're going to get justice. That's why I say, you know, the marching and praying is like, at this point, who are you marching to? Like, who are we marching to that's going to actually be sympathetic to what we're saying? Because they don't get it, you know. The first thing they say, well, he was breaking the law, he was doing this and that. They'll come up with any excuse to justify the particular murder. you know. But last time I checked, I don't think breaking a car window was means for a death penalty. So, you know, I think at this point, as far as what we've learned, it's really too late in the day for us to still be marching and crying and protesting and doing all that. It's really late in the day. I mean, I get it because people are frustrated and they don't really know how to, you know, express their anger and all that. But sometimes you just got to take a step back and just sit and think, okay, what is really going to come out of this? And I think the media is actually provoking the situation because it builds up these emotions only to let the police officers off. Like, we've seen this story so many times. You know, I've seen a video with, I believe, either the mother or grandmother, Stephon Clark. And, you know, she was just like, I want justice for my baby and this and that. And it's really kind of sad because I'm looking at it like, you don't know that they're not going to give you justice. You know, at this point, it's really kind of sad because they're kind of fueling the emotion and stringing it along. They may even press charges against these police officers, but they're already building the case for them to get off, you know, and we have to know this up front. That way we can come up with another strategy to combat these problems that we have. But I think Mufasa had the best solution that I've heard. If you are accosted by the police or pulled over, your best bet, if you're trying to live, if you're trying to, you know, fight another day, is to just comply, period. And that's per Neely Fuller book. That's part of the code as far as black people understanding the situation that we're in this country. You are behind enemy lines. That would be just like, you know, a Jewish person in Nazi Germany getting pulled over by the Nazis and they pissing and say, oh, I got rights, and they mad and protesting. Cause no, you can't do that. You got to understand your position and strategize and live to fight another day, you know. So I think that's the best solution when it comes to dealing with these race soldiers, because we don't know who we're dealing with, KKK, policemen. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what type of people they put in our neighborhoods to, quote-unquote, police us, and we got to deal with it accordingly, you know. So I'm going to leave it right there for now. If, you know, we want to take a call, let's do that. But I do have a lot more to add to this bill, though. You dig? So, again, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev with Mufasa Rye, Rise of Star. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. We are discussing the shooting of Stephon Clark out in Sacramento. And we just want to know, you know, have we learned anything from Ferguson? Because it seems like we're dealing with the same problem. I see a lot of the usual suspects in this particular incident, like the lawyer guy, Crump. I saw him with the family. I saw Al Sharpton was at the funeral, did the eulogy. So it's all the usual players. It's all the same type of folks that, you know, they're putting around us. And like I said, it's really just a spectacle at this point. And they're going to string us along, get us emotional, and only to be let down at the end. So, you know, we just want to know, you know, your opinion. We want you to add to the bill. Did y'all want to go to the phone lines, or what y'all want to do?
Okay, yeah, we can go to the phone line. Before, so let me just add this brief little comment here. And playing devil's advocate, and not to discourage anybody either, because I totally understand why Mufasa and other people feel like that. And I agree, you know, if you want to live and survive and all that, you know, just comply. I get it. But on the flip side, you know, why that bothers me so much is that, for one, we shouldn't have to, however, but it is what it is. Secondly, I feel like even if everybody was to get on code, or our community was to get on code and do that, they're going to be so mad about that, they're going to still figure out another way to still, you know, justify the shoot, because that's ultimately what they want to do anyway. So once everybody starts to comply, and we don't give them other reasons and excuses to pull out their weapons and shoot, they're going to come up with something on their own. But I just want to throw that out there, not to say I want to discourage anybody or to say that I even disagree with the tactic either. But I just want to throw that out there because I think it's important that I'm thinking. So let's take caller from
right.
Area 407-680. Caller, you mind stating your name? You have a question or a comment?
Hi, my name is Nene. Yes, like the guy said, yes, that's been going on for a while, and I think it's going to continue to happen. Cops killing blacks when they assume that they have a weapon or danger. So that's what I wanted to say. And the guy in Sacramento, yeah, I believe that was wrong because I think they just shot him because he was black and running. Really,
kind of true. I agree, caller. And we're glad that you was able to call in. We appreciate your comment as well. Do you guys have any questions for her? Okay.
Yeah, I don't. But I do appreciate what you're saying, caller.
Okay.
That's the reality. That's the reality of it. It's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I will ask you this, Carly. Do you agree that at this point in the game, it's just time for black people to have their own land and totally separate the from white people? You think it's finally time for that?
Well, it's some good white people. Well,
right, but see, you see how you
really
do that. See how you
out there for blacks, really, kind of true.
Now, if we was to separate and have our own and allowed to do our stuff, we didn't have to worry about racist white police shooting us in the streets. Now, it is true that we do have our own issues as well. But that's one that will be cleared up, is we shouldn't have to deal with it. We shouldn't have to deal with being gunned down by white racist cops, you know. And it's nothing wrong. That's not saying it is that we saying that all white people are bad. It's just saying that we need our own space to do for ourselves. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And we can still respect each other. We can still have respect for each other, but we need our own.
Yeah, and it come down to basically us being able to control our own destiny. You see what I'm saying? It comes down to black people being able to control our environment, police ourselves, deal with our criminals how we deal with our criminals, and deal with each other in a different way, because it's not the same when the dominant society or white people deal with us. You dig what I'm saying? And the point that the colleges made, you know, there are some good white people. Well, the problem is the quote-unquote good white people are not in power. You see what I'm saying? The good white people don't have enough power to combat the racist white folks, because it seems to me all the racist white people are the ones in power. I.e., look at the president. You know, look at, you know, the suspected races that are in the White House, in Washington, in these powerful positions. So that's the problem. Even if we do have good white people, they're not in a position to make a change because they're never on these so-called grand juries. Where are the good white people that was on the, you know, grand jury for Mike Brown? Where are the good white people that was supposed to convict Zimmerman? You see what I'm saying? The good white people are few and far between and can never really be found when we need them. Like, they can go out and march with us, but we need these race soldiers and police to be convicted. This is what we need. This is what justice looks like. We're not, nobody's asked for nothing real crazy. We're just asking for police to be held accountable when they kill. Yeah, for their actions, period, like everybody else is, you know, so. you know, we appreciate the call.
Hey, Brother Kidd. Brother Kidd.
Yes, sir.
Before you let her go, I want to ask her one other thing. Carla, you still there?
I'm still here.
Let me ask you something. Did you see the video of what happened to the guy out there in California? Did you see how he was shot?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay. Let's say, put yourself in his position. Is there any way you would have handled that differently?
Stop. Well, he still was going to get shot if he had his hands up. And then, so they just thought the device in his hand was a weapon. Like, probably if he didn't have nothing in his hand, it just stood there, he probably wouldn't get shot. But I can guarantee that would have happened.
Right.
Yeah, because they say that they was looking for him or something about breaking in someone's place or something.
Right,
so
they was already
looking to shoot someone when they run. So
because from what I was seeing, you know, he was running. I mean, you see the police officers coming from the front.
Mm-hmm.
Why he didn't just go ahead and stop in the front? But he proceeded to run to the back, trying to get in the house. And it's like, dude, the police are after you. Why are you trying to run? Why, matter of fact, why are you even putting your grandparents' life in danger?
Exactly.
You know, I would want to keep danger away from my grandparents.
Yeah.
So if I saw the police in front of my house and I'm hearing them tell me to stop or whatnot, or I know something's going on, why am I going to run to my grandparents' back door? You know what I mean? We
got
to start taking some accountability on some of our actions as well. You know, it's just like with Alton Sterling. Mm-hmm. If I put myself in Alton Sterling's position, when the police officers came up to me and they telling me to get down, instead of me saying, well, I ain't do nothing. What did I do? See, for some reason, don't understand. We still try to reason with these people like they care for us. They do not care for us. They don't look at us like we have rights. So just stop reasoning with them. Just get when they tell you to get down, suck up, get out of your pride, get down and try your best to survive. Quit asking them questions. I'm trying to talk with these people because all you do is rolling the dice with your life. We know how it's going to go when you try to argue with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to tell people that you have to be weak. I'm just saying use your mind and be wise. As best you can, be wise. And we need to be teaching this type of stuff to our children and to our loved ones.
To our kids.
Unfortunately,
we do have
some of us that are mentally challenged, that don't know how to, comply or respond correctly to the police, which we really should be trying to watch over them. But if you're in your right mind, listen, when they come up to you, just like I said, when they came up to that brother, just get down, brother. Why are you still trying to talk with them? Then when they tase you, you're snatching the tase out and you still you want to put your hands up, but you're not listening to what they're saying. Just get down. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of us are confused about the position we're in this country.
Yes.
And we want to believe, you know what I'm saying? We want to believe that.
Right.
We have the same rights as everybody else, and that's just not the case, as we see.
There you go.
And it kind of hurts us because we like, you know, even if they in the wrong and they just, you know, doing a stop and frisk for no reason or harassment, we like, well, dang, what did I do? Well, you know, and then we want to start arguing with them, but we don't understand that we are behind enemy lines.
Mm-hmm.
And these people got
them.
We got
right
up
to their hands.
Yeah, they got
right
up
to their hands.
Yeah.
When we start being combative with them, we doing exactly what they want. They want that. They want you to do that. Because now they got the right to vamp up even harder. As soon as you fall victim, they playing mental games with us. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You give them the leeway to step to go to meet you with even more aggression. You know what I'm saying? It's just like with Sandra Bland. If y'all go back and rewind the Sandra Bland tape, Sandra Bland was doing a good job of trying of get almost getting up out of that situation.
That cop
bait her in to you know, getting arrested.
Yeah.
But thank you, Carl. Appreciate you calling. Yeah, continue to listen in.
Yeah, appreciate it, Carla. Thank you. And I want to offer another thing too. Now this is per the code as well, because if we understand that we are behind enemy lines and we are prisoners of war, number one, we should not be conducting in any illegal activity. I know that's hard, but I'm gonna say it again for some people. I know we got resources we're trying to get, and we're in a bad position. But as black people, we should not be inducted in any illegal activity. And if we do, we should do it on our own. We should be solo bolo. Do not involve any other black people in your illegal activity. Number two, if you're running from the police, where are you running to? Where are you running from? If you did something wrong, why are you running? Because 9 times out of 10, you go get caught. And if you didn't do nothing, why are you running? You see what I'm saying? These are the things we got to think about as we move forward, as we, you know, talk to our kids and do these things. We got to understand that we are behind enemy lines. You know, if you go do dirt, I ain't knocking nobody for what they do to get their bag or whatever. But you need to be smart about it and do that stuff on your own and not involve, you know, as least black people as you can, because you putting all of us at risk. Like you're saying, Stephon Clark was putting his grandparents at risk by running into their house or, you know, running into their backyard. I know that's probably where he lived, but he's putting them at risk. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to get caught. You know, that's just the bottom line. So, you know, we do have to be smart about these things. We do have to take accountability for our actions, because we know how they do. And it's been happening for a long time. So we shouldn't be out here playing like we got the same rights as everybody else. It don't work like that, unfortunately.
It's years ago. I had a good friend that, you know, because we was wild as youngsters, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a saint. A lot of my friends who weren't saints. And I had a good friend that was, he got arrested. And when he got out, he told us point blank, I'm never going to jail again. He told us this. And he basically, but he wasn't willing, like you say, to stop doing wrong either. But when he said he wasn't going back to prison again, he meant that. So, drugs in the area, and the police got on him. He tried to run. He had a gun on him. And he turned, and, you know, he reached for the gun. And they shot him. Now, what are we supposed to do? Am I supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, protesting and angry at the police? When he done already told me he ain't going back to jail.
Right.
And he, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So the reason I brought that story is, like I said earlier, all these cases we got to deal with individually. Every time somebody get gunned down by the police, you know, everything ain't always, you know, a pure incident of just being gunned down, you know, innocently. You know what I'm saying? So, just fast forwarding up to this case again, it's like, can somebody please explain to me why the brother was running in the beginning? Because you can't tell me if you look on the surveillance that he wasn't running, that he wasn't trying to get away. It's like, why are you running, man? If you ain't doing nothing,
why are you running?
Tell you, don't run. We done went through these situations so much. Your common sense to tell you don't run from the police. You asking to get murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
And they had the helicopter, so where are you running with the helicopter?
Exactly. You mean tell me you didn't see the ghetto bird up in the sky?
Right.
You got the ghetto copped up in the sky. You got police in the neighborhood. and you didn't know what was going on, you just said, I'm going to run back in grandma's house because I don't know what's going on. Instead of knowing in your right mind that if I'm running and these police see me running, they 9 times 10, they going to gun me down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to talk about ways to live, especially when we living around some people that don't care for us anyway.
Yeah.
That's the stuff we should start talking more about, is what are we going to do to live? Stop making these dumb decisions that we make. You know, that's just ridiculous that your grandmother had to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Your grandfather and your grandmother had to go through that. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't use better judgment in what you're doing. And how you living out here in these streets. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these cases. Give me another. Who else we had? Give me another person. Who else got gunned down by
We him? Had Walter Scott. Remember Walter Scott?
Walter Scott.
Ran and the dude just shot him in the back like he was a deer.
Now tell me this. If I put myself in Walter Scott's position, I'm not finna get up. I know I got one. I'm telling my partner in the car, they got me. I'm going to jail.
Mm-hmm. You're going to jail.
At least I'm still alive for my family.
Mm-hmm.
When you jumped out that car and took off running, dog, you gambled with your life.
Right.
You basically at that point said, I don't care. I don't care if I live or die.
Right.
You rolled the dice with your life.
Yeah.
You should have took that L and went to jail. You gave vicious beast of a cop. You gave that vicious animal a chance to murder you in cold blood. Because he probably was happy you ran. Why are you giving him opportunity to gun you down, brother, when you know that's what he wanted to do anyway? We got to use our mind to think better.
Yeah, this is a fact. And, you know, I don't want it to get misconstrued like we are, you know, coming down on the brothers, because we know that the officers are dead wrong. But what
dead
I believe,
wrong.
You know,
dead
my brother's saying, what we're saying is we can use better judgment calls and make wiser decisions, you feel me, to live and to fight another day. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? Because we outgunned and we outmanned by these police, because the police, as we see, can kill us with impunity, meaning they can kill us and get off, not do a day in jail. You know, they get a GoFundMe account and they become heroes in their particular, you know, circles or whatever. So we just got to be smart about these things and understand that, you know, we're not necessarily blaming the victim, but there is some accountability as well as far as the decisions we make and how we handle, you know, being rolled up on by the police. Now, you got to understand, you got me. Like, I get pulled over, you got me. I got warrants, you got me. I'm not finna run, you got me. You know, let me do my paperwork, do my time, and, you know, I'll see you on the back end, but... You know, we do have to get on code and make better decisions when it comes to this. But I want to ask y'all this, too, now, because a lot of people have been talking about the response of Stephon Clark's brother. You know, I've been seeing a lot of things online, like maybe he shouldn't be the spokesperson. He's doing a lot of clowning. You know, he's kind of making people look bad or making the family look bad. You know, he did lose his brother. You know, we got to give him that. But how do you or how do y'all think his brother's particular, how's he responding to this shooting? And do you think it's effective? Are they exploiting the young brother? Or, you know, what's going on? What are y'all thoughts on his brother and how he's been portrayed in the media?
Why do you want to go first?
Well, I can.
Keep it real, Roger. Keep it real.
Man, I mean, my heart goes out to the guy and his family. It just seems like course, I wasn't there. I didn't serve the brother no drugs, but it seems like he's on it, along with some mental illnesses going on. It just seems like some of his behaviors, although he is dealing with a tragic situation, and I do agree you cannot say how a person should grieve, but these things and his behavior just seem like they're pre-existing issues.
Right.
But so I can be wrong. I didn't know him before this, still don't know him. I'm just strictly going off of the videos and how they appear. His behavior is very different. It's not normal reactions. But like I did say, you don't know how people will grieve in situations like this. But his behavior is not what you would typically see from a grieving brother or grieving person. But it's just, I don't know, he seems to be wild. I personally don't think, even if it is just grief and him just struggling and having maybe a mental breakdown due to the loss of his brother, which was very traumatic, I don't think his brother should have been killed, even if he was the suspect that was breaking out windows. I don't think he should have been killed. So if he's even having a mental breakdown just due to the circumstances and losing his brother, he should not be in the forefront to speak. You know, I just don't think right now he's capable of really handling the situation properly. And it's unfortunate. Now, this is one thing that I don't like about the media, because I'm never really against the media. From just having one foot into the media industry myself, I don't really blame the media, because I understand what they do and how and why and why things get the coverage. So I don't never usually go against the media, but in cases like this, I would much rather see the reporters and stuff talk to someone who has just a little bit more. They're a little more level-headed than his brother is, you know, to really get things done and taken care of and have things being talked about in a productive manner. I would much rather them see them go to someone else that's capable. Why he's incapable right now, I don't know. I can speculate and say it's drugs. I can speculate and say it's mental breakdown. I can speculate and say it's grief. But at the end of the day, I really don't know why. But I know that he's not capable, because I've seen him in interviews, and I see how he responds and reacts to the reporter. So that lets me know that somebody else should be even assisting him, or just he needs to not even be seen, you know, just because of whatever he's going through. He shouldn't even be seen. He needs that time to heal and get himself together, and they need to put somebody else in that position. Because I do think that ultimately, at the end of the day, regardless of all the things that I have said already, ultimately, for somebody and to somebody, he is going to create or have a negative impression on the black community and his family, to somebody. So I do think that he needs to just, you know, he needs to be put to the side and let him just kind of deal with what's going on with him personally, whether it's his grief for his brother or whatever it is. And somebody needs to be put in that place to represent on a better productive scale.
Indeed. Yeah. What you think, Mufasa, dude? I want to add this question, too. Now, do you think the brother is an opportunist? Do you think he's using his brother's death to bring shine to himself? And that's for both of y'all.
I think so. I'll go ahead and say right away, I think so. And I hope that I'm wrong, but I'm only going off of the impression that I'm getting with the information that I'm seeing. And I think so, based off of that. Yes.
Indeed. Brother Mufasa,
you know, I'm gonna give my opinion. It's just my opinion.
Yes, sir.
When I see him, I see a brother who is sick. That's what I see. I see, like Roger said, somebody has already been dealing with some issues. And
right.
Now, you know, he's really going through something with the loss of his brother. From what I heard, he lost his little brother, too, to violence. So he's lost two brothers now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're dealing with somebody who needs some counseling and some mental help, and definitely needs to be set down so that he's not making a mockery of himself. Because I'm going to be honest, this would be something that probably 20 years from now, when he looked back on it, on how they got him, you know, recorded his behavior, you know, he might feel bad about that. We don't need to, some things don't need to be seen. And we know
right.
this brother going through some stuff. You know what I'm saying? He dealing with stuff. Some of that stuff the public don't need to see. Because it's like they're going to exploit you. They're going to talk about you. They're going
right.
to, you know, you're earning all your dirty lines. Some stuff need to be kept behind closed doors. And I feel like his family should do a better job of trying to keep him a little bit more protected. Because he is vulnerable. He's vulnerable to the media, to making a mockery out of him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think he's trying to bring, trying to, like, self-promote himself. I don't think that. I think the brother really just got some issues that he's dealing with, emotional and mental problems. And he really needs to be set down and be counseled. That's what my spirit really tells me, and I could be wrong on it. But my spirit
right.
really tells
Indeed.
Me that the brother going through some mental and emotional scarring. And he need to be set down and isolated away from the media. You know, he really need to be talking with some counselors and how to deal with this situation, how to heal through this situation. That's how I feel about it.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. And I agree with both of y'all, man. It's, you know, it's all about healing. Like, yeah, you hit it right, the nail on the head, man. It's about the brother getting some help. You know, I kind of lean with Roger's story. I believe there's some, you know, issues there as far as, drugs or whatever possibly. You know, just saying my opinion, just looking from the outside, looking in, it looks like there are some issues before this happened. So, you know, when an event like this happened, you lose a loved one or someone close to you. Your emotions are all over the place, you know, and as we see by the interviews, you know, and we see by, if you look at the clips of the funeral, one minute he's smiling, throwing a fist up, then he got the angry face and, you know, just going back and forth with emotions like that. It's a little bit off, you know what I'm saying? It's showing that he's a little bit off. So it is about the brother healing. Now, I'm going to have to disagree with Roger Stone on the media part, because I think the media is they will kind of exploit you. You know, if they see a character that's kind of, kind of reckless or kind of wild, and he could probably get some ratings up, the media will take a chance to it.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't like it. That's what I was saying. That's one of the things I don't like about
because,
what they're doing in this cases like that,
because even after the Don Lemon interview, you would have thought that CNN would have been like, no, we can't have him back on. But even after the Don Lemon interview, he went back on CNN again. You
right,
see?
Yeah.
So that was kind
exactly
of like,
right.
you know, that's kind of like an exploit. Like, I could see the first time, okay, you didn't know. But if you keep bringing the brother back on and you see how he's acting with the antics
right, exactly.
and all this other type of stuff, then you're kind of just exploiting the young man, you know.
Yeah, that's
and
what
it's
I was saying.
Really not about
that
you
was,
just
that
trying
was
to get ready.
Yeah, I would much rather than talk to someone else outside of him because
right.
from what we've seen, he's not conducting these interviews in a productive manner. You know, it's like counterproductive. It's like, what are we getting out of
right.
this, you know? But it just, I mean, but I do, you know, I don't know.
It's good for ratings, I guess, but it's not a good look.
Right.
I don't think for the family. You know what I'm saying? But it's a good look
exactly.
as far as ratings, and people could talk about it online. It can go viral, and, you know, he was asking Don Lemon to say his brother's name and, you know, all that type of stuff. But is it really constructive as far as the family? Is it constructive for bringing justice for his brother? You know what I'm saying? Is he pleading his case to the public? Because we got to remember, most of the trials like these, high-profile cases like this, they are tried in the public. Like, forget the jury, forget going to trial. Before anything happens, that case is tried in the public, the court of public opinion, they call it. So now I've been looking online. You know, they're already making cases for this guy to get off. They had a quote-unquote expert, a former police expert, and he was like, well, yeah, you know, and I believe any officer would have reacted that way. So they're already setting it up for these officers to get off. You know, police officers coming out like, yeah, you know, they would have reacted that way. It was dark. You had a cell phone. It could have been a gun. It could have been this. So they're already justifying and setting it up for these officers to get off. And then you bring his brother in talking about his brother was a hustler and he got it by any means. You see what I'm saying? If you just look at right, that's what I'm saying. If you just look at those two comments and how it's being weighed in the public, you know, people gonna be like, well, no, they gonna let him off. You know what I'm saying? Just based on the words and the stuff that people say, because these things in these interviews and what you say on these, you know, mainstream media platforms, these things are used against you, you know. At the end of the day, they will use those things against you. So, you know, it's just, you know, what
you
know the brother's breathing. But, yeah.
That I think, you know, either at the rate that he's going, the reason why I really wish that they would remove him from media, from the public's view, because the things that he's doing, he's either, I fear that he is going to wind up hurt, you know, if not even like his brother, either that, because he seems to be out of control, or he's going to, you know, do a ritual negotiation with the ruler of the, you know, the entertainment world. You know, some people may call it the Illuminati or whatever, to get him, because I, for one, think, I know Mufasa disagree a little bit on that, but I, for one, do think that, you know, there is some personal gain out of this for him. And if they go ahead and say, okay, here, we're going to give you a record deal, or give you this amount of money to do this and do that, or he gets something out of it, which you can tell that's what he's pushing for, that's what he's saying. These are the things that he's verbally expressing. You know, if he gets those types of things, then to me that's almost like, okay, you know, he did the ritual, you know. So that's one way to maintain, to keep him under control and to maintain his actions, by letting him, you know, some value that he wants out of this, calm him down. Otherwise, they don't. You can tell the way that he's carrying on, the things that he's doing. I don't know if you guys remember the last link I sent you guys. I know Fossa said he saw it earlier when he was talking to the mayor and stuff. You know, it's like these types of things. You know, these people are not getting ready to just allow that stuff to keep happening. They'll let you go so far, but after, you know, after so long, they're not going to allow that to happen. That brother going to, you know, wind up hurting. I pray to God I'm wrong, but that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. You're either going to play or you're not. And if he's going to keep doing things like that, they ain't going to keep letting him get up in that male's face like that and behaving in that same manner with mean faces one time, yelling and cussing. They're not going to continue to let this young black boy keep stepping up in this male's face, and no other person, for that matter, of that statue, if you want to call it that, and not do nothing about it. So they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to either decide to get rid of that guy like they did Durant, Steele, and all the others, or they're going to pacify him with material items, money, things like that. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll tell y'all this, because I still don't want to take the focus off of, like we was talking about, what we learned from this. And I'm hoping people will sooner or later get an understanding of where we are at and what you're dealing with when you're dealing with police. I really hope people start letting that sink in. Black people, you know, other people had their issues too, but we reaching out today to our people, black people. Realize what you're dealing with when you're dealing with these police. They do not care. We have no rights. You know what I'm saying? So try to stop putting your family in a position where they got to go through this type of stuff. You got to think wiser. You got to think wiser.
More to that, because and just to add to what you said, Mufasa, because to all the listeners, to everybody, also understand that it goes beyond just the police officers. The police officers is just a small little tool, small little version. They are able to do that because what they have, the system that they have protecting them. So that's why they're able to do it. If it wasn't something bigger than them that was more deceptive and more evil and had hatred towards the black community, they wouldn't be able to get away with what they're doing on this level. So it goes beyond just the police officers. To me, they really like peons. They're being controlled. They know what they can and cannot do based off of who they are and what they got back in them. You know, it's the bigger picture is the system that allowed this stuff to happen, that allowed a white police officer to shoot a black person in the streets, just gun them down, and to get off
the system. Because if the system did, we've been convicting more of these police officers with first degree murder, or at least manslaughter at the least.
I mean, for real. Right. But they just getting off. I mean, they walking away scot free. And like I say, at this point, it's pretty blatant. And I feel like they kind of pushing it in our face. Like, because we have to do something to get it together.
Let it be one of us that do it. Let us a civilian do that.
Yeah, even a black police officer, though. I was going to bring up the police officer in Minnesota who shot the white lady. He's now being charged, you know, and he said it was an accident. It was dark. They got a call about somebody breaking in home. He saw a shadow and he shot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if he goes to jail. Then we know what time it is for real.
We'll see, because I ain't going to lie. You know, he ain't the first one that been charged. A couple of them been charged. And here's not, I'll roll dice and say, this is why I think he is going to get away. It's because, if I'm not mistaken, ain't they charging him with first-degree murder?
I'm not sure the exact charge, but I think he's going to get charged.
See,
I think he's going to get convicted.
That's what they do. That's what they charge the person. When you charge these cops with that type of crime, with a murder charge like that, you have to prove that they, you know what I'm saying, went out and intended to really kill this person. See, they instead of saying, making it manslaughter, see, they can prove the manslaughter. But they don't want to do that. They charge you with murder, and they know they're not going to be able to prove that, so then the guy get away. That's the game be playing.
Right.
And that's
true
what I think, that he is going to get away, because they're not going to be able to prove that he maliciously murdered that woman.
It's going to be interesting to see, but I think because he's a black man and she's a white woman, they're going to have to set an example, and he's going to jail. Like, that's what I think about, but I mean,
if
I could be wrong.
They don't send him to jail, they're going to send him back home. He ain't going to be able to stay here no more, and he definitely going to get fired and not going to be a police officer no more. It's going to be something different with him, I can guarantee you that, because that's just how they do black people.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we're going to see. That's going to be interesting. Yeah. But I did want to touch on the. I did want to touch on a point that Roger Starr made earlier. Like, even if we was to get on code and comply, that they gonna find another way, you know, to criminalize us and harm us and all that, which that may be true. But if most of us get on code and we know, you know, that we're following the code, then we can come up with a defense mechanism to fight that. You see what I'm saying? It'd just be to the point where we'd just have to circle our wagons more tighter and become more unified in our code. That way we can protect each other. You know what I'm saying? Because it's protection and unity. And we won't leave people, you know, people won't be out there by themselves. But I do agree that once we get on code, like, it's going to always be new ways to criminalize black people and to justify killing us, no matter what it is. You know, like back in the day, it used to be vagrancy laws or loitering. You know what I'm saying? Like, we couldn't be out. It couldn't be like more than a group of three or four of us out at one time. We couldn't be congregating. We couldn't be doing this and that. You know, just different type of rules. So they always look for ways to criminalize us. Now it's, oh, I was afraid for my life, so I had to shoot him. I thought he had a gun. It was a cell phone. He reaching for the gun, blase, blah. So they're going to always do that. But it's going to be up to us to, you know, outsmart them as best we can and try to come up with better ways to counter that. You know what I'm saying? We going to have to do that. And then at that point, it's just going to come down to, you know, us defending ourselves at the end of the day, you know, which we have a right to do. We just go, it's going to come down to that. But at least we can get all those other options. We not going to make it easy for them to just kill us. You know what I'm saying? By them using the same old excuses, oh, he didn't comply, he didn't do this and that. We don't want to give them those easy excuses to kill us, you know, and always be on alert when we're dealing with police and law enforcement. We should always be on alert. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I just wanted to put that out there so that way we can think about these things and think about, you know, because what I would hate to see. If everybody just, you know, miraculously get on code, and then we find that, okay, it's still not working. So I'm saying, I want to say
right.
That just go ahead and start thinking out other options, because they're going to be mad. They're going to be mad because
right.
We're not no longer giving them a reason. But they, because ultimately the bottom line is they shoot and kill them because they want to shoot and kill us. It ain't because they was really
right.
Mad or afraid. It's because they really want to
right,
do it.
Right.
And
right.
So they're going to figure out another way, even if it was miraculously get on code. I'm saying that to say, hey, think about the future. Think about what, you know,
yeah.
How to combat
that's,
that as well, because it's
right.
Going to happen.
That's part of the code, too, is recognizing the system you're in. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the code, is being honest and recognize, hey, this is what we up against. You know, law enforcement is infiltrated by KKK. There's a lot of racism in law enforcement, and we have to be careful and know what we're dealing with. That's part of the code, you know, and not being,
yeah.
Not being so naive.
Right. We're going to take another call, you guys. Let's do area code 314-616. Caller, you state your name. You have a question or a comment?
Yes. How's everybody doing tonight?
Peace, caller.
Hey, how you
going
doing?
On?
Peace. Black supremacy, black
is that
love.
Brother David? Is that Brother
that's,
David?
That's correct.
Yes,
that's correct.
All right, I got you.
But I want to say, I'm kind of jumping in the middle of this conversation, but I think the information that I got was kind of relating to the police shootings. Unfortunately, you know, we're going to have to watch out, especially during this month of April. This is Black Supremacy, this is White Supremacy National Appreciation Month, so you can expect
mm-hmm.
more scare tactics and all kind of things. But I think that we need to really look at our ancestors, because something I was saying to myself today when I got the information about the blog talk tonight is, I really feel that we have upset and disappointed our ancestors that have fought hard. We're more concerned about living than we are dying, in the sense that you know, hey, I don't really want to support the black movement. I want everybody to see on Instagram my trip to Miami, you know. So as
right.
black empowerment becomes more this, more important than selfishness, I don't see us moving anywhere. When it comes to dealing with the police, we can't just lay down and comply, because nothing gets changed by obeying and complying with their rules, because they've made the rules and they break the rules. And I think that briefly we had discussed even with Philando Castile, we see that, you know, there was a ruling in a situation where the police officer that murdered him was acquitted from all charges. While on the flip side of the coin, in the same state, this guy, Officer Muhammad Noor, you know, in the same state,
right.
had a similar instance. And I'm assuming that, you know, maybe that might have been an accident. I really don't know. But, you know, the prosecuting attorney used the same language that was used to acquit one officer to charge another. I
mm-hmm.
found it to be crazy. But I
yeah.
think that, you know, Muhammad Noor right now has to be one of my heroes. And maybe we need more, you know, black law enforcement infiltrating the power structure. You know, I really don't know what the solution to this is going to be, but I know that being in compliance and being afraid is never going to work. It never has. I mean, you have never gained any independence or freedom by complying and allowing the people that are oppressing you to be the ruler and author of your destination. You know, being black in America, you're born without freedom. Your sovereignty is being stripped. You have no rights of passage. You have nothing. You know, you are here to pay taxes and die and live upon the jurisdiction of white supremacy. And until we fight back and give a moment of pause, we shouldn't be in a
right.
courtroom trying to, you know, get in good with their governments and trying to do this. We should be organizing and utilizing our wisdom to come together. But this can never happen unless we have alliance with the continent, because we have no protection. You have become a prisoner of war in a foreign land that you once occupied, and you're
right.
no longer the majority. You're the minority. So until you have an alliance with, you know, South Africa or another powerful African country that says, "Hey, you know, we're going to protect our people. So if one of ours die." Then we're going to send this to happen, or we're going to cut off trade. You know, that's the only way
right.
that you're going to begin to get their attention, because white supremacy is controlled by life and commerce. So
right.
as long as their money and lives are not being affected, they continue being the same people that they've been being.
So indeed,
let me ask you, brother, I respect where you're coming from, but I do have to challenge you on the compliant deal. So let me ask you, if you were Stephon Clark, are you saying that, I'm saying you in your right mind, as you are right now, Brother David,
yeah,
would you have handled that situation exactly like Stephon Clark handled?
I think that running always opens up agitation, and I'm in no way advocating or justifying, you know, the murder or the action taken by the police officer at all. But I think that you have to use wisdom to a certain extent. I mean, my position on everything now is, you know, even though I have children and I want to live to be there for them, in the instance where I feel that my life is threatened, I have to respond with the same level of violence that they're giving me, because at the end of the day, I'm going to die one way or another, you know.
Right.
And it's sad.
Right, but look at that. But Stephon didn't have a way to defend. All he had was a cell phone. So he had no way to defend himself. That's why I'm saying
right,
the brother as well.
He ran.
When he
was
in the yard, laid on down.
I think that the mistake that he made was he ran, and maybe that was just his initial reaction. I really don't know. You know, but I think that not that you can muster a bullet, but if you're within defense distance to try to maybe disarm the officer, I really don't know. But I just think that whether it's a pullover stop or, you know, stopping for jaywalking, whatever it is, we have to almost respond with the same level of violence as we're being met with.
Right. Well, this my thing.
I know it
doesn't
make sense,
now,
you know,
this part of code nearly fully. This is why I say we should comply, because we are in such a vulnerable position as a group. You see what I'm saying? We don't have leverage. We don't have the government backing us. Like, when a police kills one of us, they got the prosecutor, they have the city government, the federal government, they have all these entities backing them. We don't have any of these entities backing us. That's why I say we should comply, but that's different now.
But if you see
the situation getting hostile and you're complying, but you see this officer still agitating you, you have a right to defend yourself. That's different.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's different than just complying and being like, okay, give me my ticket, let me go on about my business. Then you not complying, getting him agitated, he kills you, and then what? You know what I'm saying? So you still can defend yourself if you see it escalating. You like, look, I'm complying, and this officer is still trying to egg me on, and I fear for my life. Then, yes, you still have a right to defend yourself.
Right.
But
right.
What I think the code is just a balance. The code is just saying be wise, be smart, and just comply and try to, you know, live to fight another day. You know what I'm saying?
This is where my position is coming from. When you think about, you know, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but think about every unjustifiable homicide that we've been experiencing through police brutality. I just say, you know, since the 2000s or whatever. How many of those men or women or children actually had a gun?
Maybe
we need to begin to arm ourselves, particularly in states like Missouri, Georgia, Florida, where you have the right to stand your ground. And, you know, I just think that when you look at our history, nothing was gained by passiveness. And I've always been a person that tries to take the high road. So I don't have an indefinite answer. Like I said last week, the only indefinite answer I have is if one of my kids is killed, you will never again see me standing in the courtroom. Because at that moment, I'm taking action to my own hands, and it's just going to be a bad day to be a white police officer. So call all your white police up, and you know, it's almost like they get a kick out of you crying. And you know, we had to come to grips with reality. Nobody has come to save us. The marches have moved an inch. The prayers have fallen on deaf ears. You know, and the voting been lost. I mean, nothing has been gained through voting. You can't vote with white supremacy. Are you crazy?
Exactly. Now, check this out, though. Check this out, because I asked this question before. Let's say, you know, I'm in an altercation with a police officer, right? And I'm complying, but he is dead wrong, and he starts to pull out his gun, and he tries to shoot me. But I'm a legal carrying person, and I get the up on him, and I kill him. Now, who is going, like, is the system going to believe me, a black man, that I was like this police officer was trying to kill me and I killed him? Like,
brother,
what are the chances of the system,
and coming
to my defense and letting me walk in self-defense?
And I know
the position we're in.
You and I know both that the system was never created to work in our favor. It was created for us to work against us. And, you know, at that point, you're going to find yourself in a position where you have to be ready to take out the whole force until you get killed.
Right.
And when we see, when we begin
you
to
know
more
you
of that,
do that,
when we, I'm with you, but until we see more of that, we'll never see change. We'll never see change.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, we have to look at countries like South Africa as our example. We have to stand up for ourselves. You know, I see a lot of more people have been getting to me lately with tell me I'm a Moor and saying, like, you know, I don't really care to hear any of this stuff because you're trying to fight white supremacy with white supremacy. You know, you got paperwork, I got paperwork. You know, and what I've been telling these brothers with all due respect to them is, you know, you're dealing with an institution that's ruled by power, not by voting or paperwork. You know, and there was a FedEx driver a couple of years ago that was a Moor that got killed by the police, and they didn't do anything about that. Dr. York, when he went to court, he had all that paperwork that they saying that you must have. Now, getting out of a speeding ticket or getting out of taxes, that's that's one thing. But when it comes to something like this, that paperwork is not working, Jack, because when they pull you over or when they feel like the lottery's being drawn and you're being the selected target, they don't care if you're Christian, Moor, gay, straight, whatever.
Right.
They're coming to get you.
Right. And see, that's the dilemma we face as black people. Like, even if it was a case where we had to defend ourselves against a police officer, nine times out of ten, we're going to get convicted.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a vulnerable position.
The only answer is, and what we need to be focusing on, is to separate. That is the only answer. The only answer is to not be in a system at all. We got
to
get out of that system.
Watch this, brother. You have to separate, but you have to have a military. Military has to be the top priority because that's your only line of defense. That way it allows you to build your economy because separating, the white supremacists have no problem with that, but if they're still controlling the resources – or they still have the power to agitate you like they did in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Rosewood to drop bombs and attack you. You're dealing with more of the same thing. So we have to have a military, and then we're ready to separate. You know, now if you want to be close to some white folks,
that's kind of hard to have. Which comes first, having the military in place or the separating? Which comes first? Because if we under this system,
you got
to get us a military under their system and under that watch why.
Again, I think it goes back to what I was saying is forming an alliance with Africa. If you could sacrifice your Jordan and Miami money for a month and begin to send that money over there, you know, for resources to weaponize yourself. That's also going to be
a
start.
Yeah,
like Cuba is the only living example that I can think of where they were able to protect themselves because they had an alliance with Russia. You know, like the Nation of Islam, to me, I said it before, is very questionable because, you know, you use your military to neutralize other black leaders and people to speak out against your leadership. But what white supremacists have you attacked?
Right.
You know,
I'm going to go into my Killmonger bag. Because what we're going to have to do is do a lot of things covertly and in secrecy. See, the separation is going to be the mental separation. Because at this point, trying to separate and gain states and make it all black, that's going to be difficult. But we can get on cold mentally, circle our wagons mentally, do direct business with each other for the most part, and do a lot of things covertly and plan stuff. On the underground and on the grassroots, you see what I'm saying, and you can destabilize and you can protect yourself by doing things that way because a lot of things can't be on front, can't be on social media. We're going to have to work independently, get think tanks together, and strategize and come up with solutions that even the masses of black people don't even have to know. You see what I'm saying? This can be a small group that is a think tank of intellectuals and. That's how we move. You see what I'm saying? Covertly
and also,
use tactics because they use spies. You see, huh?
And in the oil, we can also migrate. We can go to other countries that's outside of this.
Yeah.
We can go to other countries. Choices out there.
Do you know we can go? It's certain states and certain cities that you can go to and incorporate. And if you have enough people, you can start a government within that city. You can incorporate that city. You see, and these are things, like I just learned, it was a documentary on Netflix where they was talking about these group of Indians that started a community in Oregon. They went in this community and basically just took over. And, of course, you know, the white supremacists was mad and they ended up getting them kicked off and getting guns and arms against them. It's called Wild Wild Country on Netflix. So check that out. But you can go into these certain towns and incorporate a city. You come in with your people, and if you have enough votes, you can take over the government. And this will be your own city. Like, these are things that we should be thinking about, and these are things that are on the books that a lot of us are not privy to. And we're just not organized as a unit to make a move like that. You see what I'm saying? But all it takes is the resources, the will, and, you know, just the people moving and setting up shop. Now, what's going to happen is we're going to, of course, have to defend ourselves. You know, we got to know that going in, because they will come and make excuses for trying to sabotage our progress. But those are stars, and those are things that we can look into as far as, you know, incorporating a city or a town or whatever. And these are all over the country. They may be rural, but you can go in and build up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, those are just some of the things that we can look into, and that would be the start of our own police department, sheriff, you know, all and so on and so forth. And, you know, we would just build and network with each other. You know, and we don't have to necessarily call it a black town, but if we all move in there and we handle our business like white communities do. They don't necessarily call it a white community, but they'll raise the price on you so not too many black people couldn't afford to live there. You see what I'm saying? That's the new game now. They'll just price you out and make it all white. You see? So, you know, there's a lot of different tactics and solutions that we can use when it comes to, you know, dealing with the system.
We do agree, though, that we ain't going to get nowhere mixed in together. I'm sure we all agree with
that. No, we agree with that because we'll always be third-class citizens. Actually, maybe fourth-class, because they're going to always rule and look out for them.
Really?
Then you got they may let some Hispanics in. They may let the Asians in, and the black people going to be at the bottom, period, point blank. And that's just – that's just the way it is. So we do agree with that. If we want to be, you know, recognized and respected as fully human beings, we're going to have to do that amongst each other.
Man.
You know, it's going to have to start with us respecting and, you know, holding each other down.
It's not going to happen under the banner of being American in the United States. The black
right,
man ain't
exactly.
going to get them. Ain't going to get no rights under that banner, unfortunately.
No. And then also on our topic, the Secretary of State under Trump, they asked her about the police shootings, and she said that's a local issue. I think it's Sarah Huckabee, the lady or whatever. Yeah, she said that's a local issue, basically saying federal government ain't got nothing to do with that. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's basically a slap in the face. That's basically a slap in the face to black people saying, well, if you get killed, then that's your local government going to have to handle that. Like the federal government not doing that. At least Obama and Eric Holder did try to stay, even though they didn't do much. But at least they did say they would start an investigation and, you know, at least go through that.
I could be wrong on that, but I still believe they got something to play with why Eric Holden stepped down.
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah, that's very possible. For real. But they saying now that, hey, this is not a federal issue. Your local and state government going to have to deal with it. She ain't even say state. She just said local. So we know what that do. That's
yeah,
just like, you know.
It's happening too much to manage. So they're like, shoot, we can't keep going down there every day. For shooting.
But it is a federal crime because it's happening. It's a federal crime because, for one, our civil rights are being violated. And for two, this is happening in a lot of cities around the country.
Right.
So it's not like it's just one state. It'd be different if it was just Alabama and you just got cities in Alabama. But no, this happened in Baltimore, Ferguson, St. Louis, Sacramento, Minnesota, Oakland, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, like this list goes on and on. This is a federal issue. So for her to say that, you know, like I say, it was really a slap in the face. But that
show
what we're dealing with, you know? That just show what it is, you know? And, you know, it's pretty sad, but we got about 5 minutes left to the live stream. This is Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev with my sister Rigel Starr and my brother Mufasa Ra. And, yeah, we've been building, man. We've been trying to offer solutions. And, you know, because something got to give. You dig what I'm saying? We've been going through this for the last, shit, forever, really. I was finna say the last 10 years, but it's been longer than
that. Since the beginning.
You know, yeah, since the beginning. So at some point, like you were saying earlier, Rigel Star, we're going to have to think of different methods because we've been marching for 50, 60, almost 70 years. Like,
yeah.
Something's going to have to give. You know, we see we're not getting many results by that. So,
the best
know,
thing I can
getting...
do is sum up my whole stance on this situation is as we sitting here still being Americans, under the laws of being an American, you know, trying to fit in with being a Black American, seeing how we are getting gunned down, and the police who are doing it are getting away with it. It leads me to this: either A, we can sit around and keep taking it, and keep letting it go, keep letting these police officers, you know, shoot us down, and we stay in this system and keep rolling with it because it ain't gonna stop.
Right, it's not.
We can stay in that system and keep on rolling with it, or we can get real and come together and start saying, listen, you know,
right.
Shame on you, basically, America. You ain't getting it right. You're not going to get it right. And it's time for Black people to figure out a way to part ways and figure out something else better for us, whether it's here some type of way. And I ain't saying I got the answers or the solution of how we do this. I'm just saying that the answer is separation. Type of way.
Right.
That has to be the answer. Because we're not
right.
getting it trying to stay mingled in together, trying to be apart. It's not happening. We are not getting the due justice that we're supposed to have. So the other alternative is some type of way of figuring out how we're going to separate, whether we can figure out a way to separate here or whether we slowly migrate to another country. But the solution is, the answer is, we have to be apart from them. Because in
yeah.
the system, they continue to show us we don't have no rights, you know?
Right.
So
yeah,
that's at this point,
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, because at this point it's like, you know, I feel like we Black people just sitting around just hoping that it don't happen to them or happen
yeah.
to their family. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. Like, we shouldn't, because a lot of these things are fear taxes. They show us these things to keep us in fear, because it's like, damn, if I get pulled over by the police, they could just start yelling gun and shoot me. And then I'm
yeah.
done. I do have a cell phone. And they could just be like, oh, he reached for a cell phone, anything. You know what I'm saying? So it's to the
yeah.
point where, you know, we just kind of sitting around, which is not the good thing to do. We need to be more proactive. You know, like
yeah.
Mufasa said, we need to be proactive and figure out what is it we want to do. Do we want to stay in the system and just hope we don't get caught up and we could, you know, it don't happen to us or our family? Or do we want to come up with a solution to, you know, to protect ourselves and our family? So. That is what it come down to, my brother. And another thing, like I say, the war is always mental. So, you know, we got to get our minds right as far as Black people and make better and wise decisions when dealing with these police. I know it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow, but we got to understand that at this point we are prisoners of war and we are behind enemy lines. Period. So you can either take that or you can leave it alone. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you can take it and see it for what it is, or you can leave it alone and go about your business nilly-willy and argue with the police and run and fight them and, you know, do what you do. But if you understand that we are prisoners of war and we are behind enemy lines, you will conduct yourself a little bit different. You will conduct yourself as a soldier would conduct
yes.
himself if he was you know, kidnapped and trapped behind enemy lines. How would you conduct yourself as a soldier? You see. But yeah, we got a minute left. Collective Minds. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the supporters. We will see y'all next week. This is Collective Minds Radio. I am Brother Kevin, Mufasa Ra, Rise of Star. We'll see y'all next week. Hopefully for a great beer.
Not black, almost played a race card. No, he didn't. Yo, I just played a race card. I'm enlightened, so that's why I feel safe and dark.